Good evening, Rabbi Isai. Good evening. Okay, we fell behind a little bit. I'm going to try to catch up. We are up to Simen Reish Chof. We started learning the halachos of Atovas Chaloyim with Ta'aniso, which is the bottom of page Kuf Lamed Zayin. I want to do Reish Chof Aleph today, Mitzah Hashem, maybe even start Reish Chof Beis. So we learned about Atovas Chaloyim if somebody Cholila had a bad dream. And we learned that a person should do Atovas Chaloyim. And we also mentioned that nowadays Shartzin says that it's not so posh that there's a necessity to do Atovas Chaloyim. It's interesting. I also saw that Chasholchan says something really interesting as well. Chasholchan says that nowadays, anyway, and there may not be a reason to do Atovas Chaloyim. Remember we spoke about last week about the reason why we don't need to do Atovas Chaloyim? Stress, Shartzin, Chazanish. And so another reason, very interesting reason, Chasholchan says that anyway, anybody who eats supper late and goes to sleep after supper, he said, anyway, what happens is that he's got I think he calls it the edim, the gases go into your brain and that causes you to have funny dreams. And he said, it's the metabolism which affects your thought process. And hence, there is no need to fast because it's just your mind being affected by the metabolism. So here again, Ochshulchan says no need to do Atavas Chaloyim because the Chaloyim are pretty meaningless. But besides the fact that there is a halacha of Atavas Chaloyim, if appropriate, there's another halacha as well, which is the fast. And that's Siv Beis. Last word, Ochshulchan Och, page Kuf Lamed Zayin, teaches us. Siv Beis, Yofa, Tainis, a fast is very good. Levat El Chaloyim, to cancel a dream. Ke'esh, like Failin Oires, for flax. For Dafke Boy B'yom, only on that very day. V'afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos. So, in other words, if a person has a bad dream, and it's a really genuinely a bad dream that he... So, he couldn't fast. Because a fast, if the dream really comes as a type of nevuah, so the best way to deal with it is by fasting. If the dream is a bad dream, you're going to fast. Mishnah Berurah is going to tell us it's not halacha that you must, but it's recommendation. But, and that is as good as when you have flax, tends to burn very quickly with fire. Fire flax is a chemical reaction that is like goes in flames. So similarly also, when you fast, the fasting for a bad dream is also very powerful. That's really the moshel and nimshel. It's very powerful and it works. It's the kind of thing that if you want to make the fire spread, you use flax, that it spreads out. So similarly, if you want the dream to stop, that means the power of stopping it is by having a fast. Mishnah Berurah says, Shulchan Ramah says that's only by biyoyim. You should fast on that day. So if you have a bad dream, cholila, on that very morning that you wake up, you're gonna fast. You don't wait 3 weeks or 3 days. And he said, oh, should I fast or not fast? It doesn't work that way. If you wake up and you're bothered about it, you fast on that very day. And Mishnah Berurah says, in Tziv Cotton, hey, Yofa. So the halacha really is a whole day. Yeah, that's right. It should be full. That's the only exception. Generally, one does a fast, needs to have a Kabbalah before. If you do a private fast, the halacha is, we learned in Chas Tainis, private fast needs, on the by Mincha, you need to be Kabbalah's. He do have Kabbalah's tainus. Somebody cholila wants to make does an aveira, or he feels that he's done a few bad mistakes and he's made wrong decisions. So the halacha is a person should do fast. It's not so common anymore nowadays. Only tzaddikim do it. But there's a halacha of fasting. But only since the tainus yochid, an individual private fast, you need the Kabbalah's tainus b'shas mincha. Any siddur has got the nusach of Kabbalah's tainus b'shas mincha. And you need to say that tomorrow mitzvah I'm going to be fasting. Any siddur has got it. Yeah, you have it over here in Art Scroll, page 108. Ribon kol olam ani lefanecha b'tainus nedova lemachaseh b'shmena esre. Yiratzim lefanecha Hashem elikav elikav esesh. Tikablenu ba'av v'rotzin v'tov lefanecha tefilos v'sani asirosi b'achamecha rabim. And that with this you're makabel the tainus. By Bahab, you don't have to because they do it by... But on Shabbos, but generally you need to do Kabbalah's Tainus B'Shas Mincha if it's a private fast. Not so when it's a Tainus Chaloyim, you're not Mekabel the night before. When you wake up in the morning, you decide, okay, this was a bad one, I better fast. This is a sign from Hashem, I'm going to fast, and you don't need to do a Kabbalah's Tainus. It works only if you do a whole day Tainus. So the Mishnah Berurah said in Sif Kotten here, Yofa, last word, and now we move up to page 274. Ubrois, pregnant ladies, Omenikos, nursing mothers, Eloiros, Lemnes, Anos would tell them not to fast. So if a pregnant lady or nursing lady had a bad dream, and she asked, oh, do I need to dream on that? No, you don't fast. You don't fast, pregnant nursing, don't fast. Hirak gift to the moment, they should give stocker, they should redeem this obligation by giving stocker. Rabbi said, over here we see, there's a concept of if a person had a bad dream, and he's not fasting, he should pay that, redeeming the moment. So the second best, after fasting, is to give pidyon, to give stocker. Seif Kotten Vav, Tainus, Aval Davka Kshoyse Tshuva Yemoy. There's no point fasting, as Rambam says in Hilchas Tainus, is never. There's no point just fasting. What's the point of just fasting? There's no point just fasting, it needs to go with Tshuva. Davka Kshoyse Tshuva Yemoy. Kya Tainus Moil Kama Korban Lechet. The Tainus only works like a Korban. Ma Korban Eino Moil Bli Tshuva, like a Korban doesn't work. Without Tshuva, Shnei Machzavach Rishayim Te'eva, Aftanas Chaloyim, only works with Tshuva. Fasting is not an obligation, only a voluntary option. Right, this is in regards to Tainas Chaloyim. But again, you must say that some people do it. Yes, there are people who do it. Generally, the people who do it, they keep it a secret, don't make a fuss about it. But yes, there are people who do it. Now this is a special bracha that is to be said when one prays Hashem for rain. And the halacha is as follows. If people were in tzar, agony. Better word? Pain, yeah. There was no rain coming down. Suddenly rain did come down. You do make a bracha on the rain that has suddenly come up. Although it's not sufficient that you can already plant and it's not enough yet that the field is completely saturated. It's not quite that stage yet. Nevertheless, if there is plenty of rain when you come down and the fields are wet, not completely saturated, it's not like sopping muddy, but it's like quite wet. There's bubbles on the floor from the rain, and they go towards each other. Now, I'm not quite sure what this means. I heard two pshatim about, well, how do you understand that the bubbles go towards each other? I always thought that the pshat is that the bubbles, it's really raining, you know, when it's really raining, and then the bubbles, they float? That's what I thought was pshat pshat. Until somebody told me recently, that's not pshat over here. Pshat is different. Pshat is that when it rains, it's dropping, rain is coming down. And then when it's really pelting, then what happens? Then it spritzes up again. So zelikazeh, it's the rain coming down and the spritz going up again. So either it's referring to the rain spritzing towards each other, or it could be that the bubbles go towards each other. I'm not quite sure what pshat is, but either way, it's a very, very substantial rain is coming. It's getting very wet. There's that kind of rain, you can make a bracha and thank Hashem. Oh, Baruch Hashem, thank you for the rain. Pardon? Very good, says the Ramah. Says the Ramah, who lived in Krakow, that's right, in Krakow. That we don't make the Birkas HaGshomim anymore nowadays. Because in our countries, there's plenty of rain. England? Rain? England? No. No, it must be just in Krakow. Yeah. Manchester, that's right. Yeah. In Manchester, as they say, it only rains once a year, right? Because in our countries, there tends to be a lot of rain. And even if it stops for a day or two. So there's never really sufficient reason to make a gshomim. In Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yisai, yes, and yes. This bracha is still relevant in Eretz Yisrael. Absolutely, if in Eretz Yisrael there is a tzirat gshomim, which chas v'shalom happens every now and then again, the bracha is relevant, and it's generally done when the beis din or the bat hadinim establish tanesim, which has happened over the last years as well, there was really no rain, and it was really bad, and things really didn't grow. It was takano crop, and then they said tarnesim, and then they would make a bracha when it starts raining again. Really? Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. If that's the case, absolutely. So the Mishnah Berurah Taka says in Sifkot Na'alef, Hevsha the Beretz Yisrael, Shemotzu Sham Yoivish, there's drought there, it's very dry. Shebo is Akshom Vageshim Yoirid Bismano, in the rain does come in its right time, Kol Echot Sameach, boy, people are very happy. You do make the bracha. So yes, you do make the bracha. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Beis tells us, in our countries you don't make the bracha. Who are not particularly happy when it rains? No. Do you get particularly excited when it rains? Any particular happiness when it rains? No. So it wouldn't make sense to make the bracha, right? Although you get more customers when it rains. You do. So maybe you should. Even in the countries that normally does have plenty of rain, if it does, even in a country like England or Wales or Switzerland, places that has a lot of rain, if once there is really a long period of time that there is no rain, then people are feeling it that, oh, no, it's really not rained a lot, then it does rain, you will make a bracha. That means that every place, if there is once a huge need of rain, you can make the bracha even in our in our countries. What is the bracha that you make? What is the bracha? Shulchan Aruch says the following words. Him ein lo yisod, and that's very important. If a person does not possess a field, he does not have a field. Oime. If he does not have a field, he says as follows. Moidim anach nuloch. We're praising you, Hashem. We are praiseful to Hashem. Hashem Elokeinu. Ribbono Shel Olam, we thank you, Hashem. Al kol tipa vetipa, on every single drop. Sheiradet olonu, which have made come down. Every single tiny bit of rain that comes down, we're grateful. Ve'ilu. And if pinum our mouth mole shiro kayom, if our mouth would be filled with shiro kayom like a sea, at etc. Until hein hem yodivochu eshim chomalkenu vechoisem, and you end up saying bocha to Hashem keil roif oidois. That's the bocha that you say after tzir shomim. Vim yesh. That's if you have no field. Vim yesh loif sada. If you do have a field, peshut vezimache with a shotef, it's not your own. But you're sharing with somebody else, then you make mevorech atoiv ameitiv, you make an offer of bracha, you make the bracha of atoiv ameitiv, which will be discussed in a later siman. V'im eino yishotef basode, if he has no shotef at all, mevorech shechionu, you make the bracha of shechionu. Yesh oimrim dar shemeh shiyot rikshom mevorech atoiv ameitiv. So there's three levels, Abba Yisai. If you have no field, you make a general bracha of moedim anach nuloch, which is a special bracha. If you have a bracha that you share with others, you're going to make atoiv ameitiv. If you have a field which you don't share with anybody, it's your own individual field that is your own, you make shechionu. Yeah, now the Mishnah Berurah does say, shutfas doesn't mean that you have a partner in a conventional sense. But the Mishnah Berurah says in the bottom line, afilim yesh l'rak ishov abonim, gam ken bichlal shutfin, if you have shutf means a partner for you to enjoy. And that could be even a wife and children. Anybody that is a family member is considered a shutev. And if that's the case, you're going to make hatoiv ameitiv. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Nei speaks about the river Nile. If you see it going up, potentially make the bracha as well. Now, why is there a difference between if you have a field or not? Or why, or rather, should I ask, why is there a difference if the bracha, in the bracha, if you share the field with somebody else, so you're the only one to benefit from it? Why does it make a difference? Pardon? So why the two brachas if it is shutef or not? If it's your own, you make shechionu. If you share the field with shutef, you make a tov ameitiv. Why is that? More benefits. You make a tov ameitiv. more benefit. So that really leads us straight into the general important concept, a very central halacha. When do you make Shechiyonu and when do you make Atoev Ameitiv? And that's an incredibly important halacha with a lot of knock-ons. And that's what we're going to be discussing in Simon Reish Chov Beis. Pirkas Atoev Ameitiv Ve'ora. There's a halacha of when you make Atoev Ameitiv and when you make Shechiyonu. Shulchan Aruch says as follows. If you hear particularly good news, particularly exciting news, what would be really good news? Win the lottery. That's quite good. Yeah, we wouldn't mind that. Pardon? Mashiach has come. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you make four brachas. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very good. It's true. So if it's particularly, if it's something that Shulchan Aruch says, but even Shmuel Shem Tov is not about, if it's something that you benefit yourself only, it's your personal, individual enjoyment and benefit, you make Shechiyonu, Mevoch Shechiyonu. If it's a benefit for yourself and to others, Mevoch HaTov HaMetiv, make HaTov HaMetiv. So, by the field, if it's your own field, and now that it's saturated, now that it's wet, and you've saved the field now, so now, this the correct bracha, because it's for yourself, is going to be, for yourself only, Shechiyonu. However, if it's others also benefiting from it, wife, children, family, or partners, whoever it may be, the correct bracha is going to be, Hatoiv Ameitiv. Hatoiv is good for you, Ameitiv good for others. Hatoiv Loiv Ameitiv L'Acherim. Pardon? Very good. That's good. Very, very, very good question. Achonim do ask that question. The answer to the question is that you make the bracha specifically on your own field. So the fact that it's raining in another field, that's not your personal toiva. But it's a good question. Now, let us define a little bit what is a good news. What is a good news? So it's interesting that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't define what a good news is. But the Bialocha does. And Bialocha speaks a little bit about defining what good news is. What about a major promotion, Rabbi Yisai? You suddenly became the chief manager, CEO of the... you can make a bracha? You offered the major shtela, you know, like Rosh Yeshiva of... You could. And the answer is yes. Yes. Now, what bracha are you going to make on it? Shechiyonu. You make Shechiyonu. What would you say? You disagree? Why no bracha? Pardon? Yeah, that's right. It's true. That's very true. It's very, very interesting point. So the truth is, Mr. Blin is raising an interesting point. That how do you know it's the right thing? Maybe you'd have been better off not getting that job. Maybe it'd have been very better to be a... Very good. So the answer is, that will be actually discussed later this eve. Now, although we never know really what's in stock, but similarly, just like we find by Dino Emmers, ultimately it's for our good, but you still make Dino Emmers, you look at the way it is with a simple... human understanding that looks like it's a bad news, Taino Emes. Similarly, also when it's good news, you thank Hashem because it appears to be good news, you thank Hashem for it. Although it may indeed turn out 20, 30, 40 years that, of course, ultimately everything for the Bereshit, but this particular step on what was the problem. So you're right, but we have to look at one step at a time. One step at a time. But it's a good point. It's a really, really interesting point there. Yeah. No. Because you'll manage with that. Yeah. Yeah. To say, yeah, you're right. It's Taka the Minig that they normally make Shechiyonu on a talus. And it's very interesting, yeah. Why do they need to have a talus? It's Tamazel's the promotion. I do not know the answer. Very good question. I don't know. Yeah.
You might discover it later if it is. I won't ask it now. someone loses a relative and at exactly the same time knows he's inherited a lot of money.
Yeah, that's mamash mefurash halacha later. Yeah, we'll get to that. That's mamash simresh chof gimel. We won't get it tonight, but yes, it will be discussed. Now, there's an interesting story of the Briskerov, when apparently the story goes that when the Briskerov heard that his father was Niftar, he actually, for some reason, he was not in town, he was not in Brisk, he was out of town, and he only heard this from a telegram. Some say a telegram, and some saw that he actually only saw it in the newspaper. And he didn't hear it. That was how he found out about his father's petira. He did not say Dino Emes. And when people asked him, why didn't you say Dino Emes? Your father was Nifta. So he said, I didn't hear it from a reliable source. From a telegram, obviously from a newspaper. I think newspaper cannot appreciate. And he said, I can't say Dino Emes. Do you agree or disagree to that? He said, I can't rely on it. Yeah?
I agree, because as far as I remember, there's an institution called the Nobel Prize. You get it for various achievements in like physics, literature, chemistry, medicine, and fields like that. It was instituted because Mr. Nobel's death was reported in a newspaper. He hadn't died,
really?
He was reported.
Really?
And he thought, I should have achieved much or done
really?
More in life. I'm going fascinating. To institute this prize
fascinating.
After my name, called the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, fascinating, and fascinating.
So
absolutely fascinating story. Fascinating story. So indeed, the Mishnah Berurah, the first white line says as follows. V'dafkik sheshama pi Adam Ne'eman. You will only say the bracha of Shmuel's toy voice. So Shechiyonu atoy v'metiv and... on the opposite extreme, Dino Emes, if you hear it from an Adam Ne'eman, from a reliable person, and this person must have seen it himself, the good news. But if the person will report to you the good news, that you won £1 million, he knocks on the door and he says, you know, I know you won £1 million. But how do you know? He said, because I heard from Yankel. Well, how does Yankel know? Yankel heard from Moshe. How does Moshe know? Moshe heard from Berel. How did Berel know? Berel knows from Yitzchok. So it's not good enough, the fact that he heard from a... It needs to be that the person himself who reports to you, A, is a Ne'eman, is a trustworthy person. B, he witnessed it himself. Not that he heard from somebody. That's not good enough.
You need two witnesses?
No. One reliable, very good point. The answer is no. One person who's reliable is good enough. Yeah, but that's good enough for the bracha. One person is good enough. Good news or bad news, you need to hear from a reliable person. The person who reports it is not believed. If he didn't see it himself, don't make a bracha. So you need to make sure that the report is a reliable report. So Rabbi said newspapers, not sure if somebody sees. And if you see the newspaper that you have suddenly, pardon? Won the lottery. If you see something like a big advertisement, Mazel Tov, Moshe Feingold, for winning the lottery, or for being, or for winning the prize, so don't make the bracha quite yet. It could just be somebody, it could just be misunderstood, yeah? So never, when it comes to good brachas, the chalila, the bad brachas, do not make a bracha unless you heard it from a reliable source. And I think we cannot appreciate the Briskerov being reluctant of trusting a newspaper. With a telegram, it's a bit of a bigger chiddush, but I think we can still hear it, that it hasn't got a din of a name on. The Mishnah Berurah, now says a very important point as to whether nowadays we still make those brachas or not, and we'll discuss them in greater detail tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Tonight, we covered loads of Baruch Hashem. We spoke about Tovas Chaloim, and we learned that a tainus is the right, is like a... It cancels off a bad dream, and it's a very powerful tool. Here, Mishnah Berurah does qualify that this is not relevant for Ubrois and Menikois, pregnant or nursing ladies. We also learned that it only works with Teshuvah. Without Teshuvah, there's no point fasting. We learned that Atziras Kshomim is a special bracha to be made if there's a very substantial amount of rain that came down, whether it is there's bubbles already and it's very, very wet. We learned this only applies in Eretz Yisrael or in countries that was really in dire need of the rain. We learned the nusach of the bracha if he hasn't got a field. If he does have a field which he shares with somebody else, he makes a tov ameitiv. If he's by himself, he makes Sheikh Yonu. We then went on to the general rule of Sheikh Yonu, which is to be recited if you are the only one to benefit from it. If there's others benefiting from it, you made a tov ameitiv. We also learned that the bracha can only be recited if it's from a very, very reliable source, and that's what we cover tonight. Tomorrow, more Bezer Hashem. Good evening.